Welcome to the worship service from Trinity Chapel in Seven Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We invite you to be a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That's trinitychapelvirginia.com. And now join us in the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel for today's broadcast.
Well, good morning. I'll share this for the benefit of those online, those that are here. Your support of this church is always needed and always appreciated, just so you know. You know, the power bill comes in, the water bill comes in, and all the bills come in. For those that support this ministry, thank you from the bottom of our heart. For those that maybe are watching or have never supported what we do here, it's always helpful. We keep the budget low. I'm not paid, so that helps. Lori's not paid. She was sweeping this morning, so she tells me. So, but you know, we have some great plans for this church, and I'm just, like I say, I'll leave it at this. After Tuesday, if I get the news that I think I'm going to get, I'm just praying that God just gives me the extra strength then to push on. Do you realize that 5 weeks from this Sunday is going to be our first anniversary here? Wow. 5 weeks. And we've had people come and go, nah, this is not my cup of tea. You're not growing fast enough, so we're going to leave, which doesn't make any sense, but I've heard that. You're not growing fast enough, so we're going to leave. That doesn't help growth. It doesn't make any sense. Have you invited anybody to join with you? You know, a lot of people think it's my job to find everybody. It's my job to feed the flock, and that's hard enough for me to do. There are a lot of little things that I do each week that I would be delighted to train somebody else how to do it. Things like what you see on the screen. It's a program called Easy Worship. You can have it on your home computer, put it all on a thumb drive, and plug it into the system up here. And everything you see, we have all the material, all the hymns, everything. We've got everything we need. Just help in putting it together. I kind of do the best that I can putting a bulletin together. And we have the printer to do that. So you don't have to worry about burning through a lot of ink. We were blessed. We have not one, not two, but three laser printers. And I'm still on the first, after a year, I'm still on the first cartridges, color cartridges, in that laser printer. And they're nowhere even, barely even being used after a year. And it was $52 to fill all that stuff up a year ago. And I've still got 80% left of the toner. So we are blessed with three of these things. So if anybody would like to help, it works in Microsoft. I just use this in Microsoft Word. If anybody would like to help, because there may be times that I can't always do everything. So it's appreciated. I will share maybe next week, as I think it's kind of premature, maybe next week, some things God has laid on my heart. I just wanted to pray them through, which I think are going to be a great opportunity for this church here in Seven Mile Ford. To give you one last little thing, we were trying to figure how to get better, higher speed internet in here, and I had a guy looking from SmithNet, and when they tried to figure which tower they could hit, the one they wanted to hit is that-a-way, and there's a tree right between us and it that belongs to somebody else. Now, there may be another way to do it, and they're going to try to figure that out, but that would have been nice. It helps with the streaming and with the soon-to-be radio station to have that solid connection. So we're looking forward to it. Oh, yeah, speaking of radio station. For many, many years, I worked for a college, Toccoa Falls College in Northeast Georgia. My job when I got there, seems like a million years ago now, it's pushing 40 years. Whoops, it's coming off. We're going to have to do something about this. Hang on a second, folks. I apologize. This is the worst it's ever been. Would you hold those for a second? Maybe they're on top of the glasses. No, they're just, it's just not wanting to stay. All right, there. Try that. If I keep my head solid. It was a Christian radio station, high-powered FM in Northeast Georgia, getting into four states off a mountaintop. And when I got there, it was just a little one station, one little radio station. When I left, we owned 10 stations around the country in a network. And somewhere in the 1990s, when digitizing audio was a thing, WAV files, we decided to digitize the music library. We had thousands of record albums, large reel-to-reel tapes full of music, and I felt digital would be the way to go in the future because these records could wear out. And I stayed with the college for years, and I was their consultant for a while. And several years back, the radio station was sold to another ministry. The college decided they didn't want to run radio stations anymore. And I was talking to a friend of mine that I had hired to work for me at that radio station when I was there in charge. He now manages a Christian ministry south of Atlanta. And I said, man, I wish I could get my hands on that old library that we put together. Oh, I've got it. Just send me a hard drive or two or three. It's huge. So the music library is there. And it's the effort that I started in 1992. So it's nice to have it come back home and be able to use it. We've got every kind of Christian music from the classics to today. So it'll be quite a variety. I think a lot of stations would wish they had it. And so we are blessed. When he said, yeah, just get me a drive, it's going to take, I think, 12 terabytes. So I'm going to send him 2 6-terabyte drives. I think that's all the announcements we have. Just think I'd like to think what we could do for that first anniversary. Now, if I had my way, I'd get Soul Sandwich back. I really would. And I may twist an arm or two and find out if we can, because it was the way to start this. And the blessing, yeah, from Mark to me from his first time here has been enormous. And I know he's busy today filling in again. And I'll need to talk to him, I hope, later today to find out how, you know, I know Mark stays, he's like me. You know, we never have time, but we find time for ministry somehow. And so, and this is the part of my week I enjoy the most, by the way. I've said enough. It's going to be an easy service today. And I think the message, if this is the one that God is putting on my heart, will be a blessing to you. Sometimes we forget to be thankful. And I know that at times we can look at the things that are wrong in our lives and say, I wish things were better. I wish I had more. Man, I wish my health was stronger. I wish I didn't have this. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And sometimes one of our biggest faults is we don't praise enough in our circumstances. And so one of the more classic hymns of the church, often sung when you bring up the offering, commonly known as the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow, today as we stand is our opening hymn. And my thing does not want to work. There it is.
Son and Holy Ghost.
desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who can order the unruly wills and affections of sinful men, grant unto your people that we may love the thing which thou hast commandest and desire that which thou hast promised, that so among all the changes of the world, our hearts may be surely fixed upon thee through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Be seated for the reading of God's word.
Good morning. I'm glad things are going better for me. I used to sound like Froggy on The Little Rascals, so we'll get through this. It'll all be for his glory. All right, so the first lesson is in Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and he went. And now there was an Ethiopian eunuch in a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home and seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. And now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from this earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with the scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, he came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What is it to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and he is passing through the region. He proclaimed the good news of all the towns until he came to Caesarea. And now we have our psalm from chapter 22, verse 24 through 30. "My praise of him is in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall bow down before him, for kingship belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. To him alone, all who sleep in the earth bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust fall before him. My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord forever. They shall come and make known to the people yet unborn saving deeds that he has done." And now from the epistle, 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. It is this love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, We also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son and the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in the love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears does not reach perfection in love. We love because he first loved us, and those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Abide in you and ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified with this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is found in the book of John, chapter 15, beginning at the first verse. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it will be done among you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you may be my disciples. The word of our Lord. Stand if you can as we sing our pre-message music.
Alone, my hope is found.
Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word, I pray that you'll open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. It's on days like today, when I know I'm not at my best, I feel like I'm not all there, little aches and pains, whatever they may be, that I am now completely dependent upon the power of Christ and His Holy Spirit to get me through what I need to share with all of you today. I started out, and I'll share just a little bit because it does make sense in where we're going to go. I was going to spend a lot of time talking about being grafted onto the vine. And I realized, no, just a quick recap of what that means and what they would have understood in the time of the disciples, in the time of the early church, when Jesus made the words and said it, just kind of recap it. Now, I am not a farmer, I am not a great gardener, and I know very little, and I know that anything I can touch, I've got the proverbial brown thumb, I'll kill it. It's just not my thing, never was. My father, he could make anything grow. Me, not so much, it's not my thing. When I lived in Florida, I was envious of one of my neighbors who got rid of his lawn and put in beautiful rocks. Never had to worry about anything again. And I suggested that idea, and that wasn't well received. After all, we just bought a new riding lawnmower. Why would I be wanting to mow the rocks? Back in ancient times, to grow really good olives, you needed certain kind of olive trees or branches. They were actually not native to Israel. And what they had figured out, if they can get them there fast enough, in the right time of the year, you know, when limbs go dormant in Greece, and that's where they came from, they would bring these olive branches to the Middle East, where they had all these wild olive trees that bore some really lousy olives that nobody wanted to eat, touch, or they were useless. Might get a little cheap olive oil out of it, and that's about it. What they discovered is that they could take these little branches and they could graft them into where they would cut off useless branches and graft these little ones in. And what they did is they kind of made the one branch open a little bit so the other one would slip right inside. Then they would bind it up with mud and canvas and whatever else they had. And then in time, they were grafted together. And all of a sudden, these branches that would have been dead from being cut off come to life in even a better environment. And all of a sudden, this tree that was bringing forth lousy fruit is bringing forth good fruit. The desired expensive olives that we can't even grow here naturally, they don't really want to start. And so Jesus says, I am the vine, and I am the one that gives you life to bring forth good fruit. And if you are detached from the vine, you'll wither and die. If you don't bear good fruit, well, they just pluck those off. Well, this one didn't work out, and start on another one. It's an analogy, and this is just one of two analogies you can take from this that they would have understood. The word grafting, yeah, they can bring in other stuff and grow it on this ugly vine, and it suddenly this vine produces. The other analogy that can be made, and this will be another message for another day, is when you think about it, we as Gentiles are grafted onto the tree that is the people of Israel. Remember, the gospel is given to the Jew first, then the Greek or the rest of the world. And Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And these branches now need to bring forth good fruit. As the vine, Jesus brings to the branches nutrition and life, the things that you need to grow. And as long as you are connected to that vine and you're not cut off, you'll flourish and grow. Now, what would happen if one of those branches didn't quite take root and fell off, hit the ground? How long would it last? Not long. It would wither and die because you have to be connected to the source. Now, that's where I was going to begin today's message. Now we're going to go into a different direction and it's going to start making sense. And I didn't realize it, like I said, till I'm reading, just to remind myself of the various lessons, this fascinating little story that almost doesn't, that's kind of an afterthought in the book of Acts about this Ethiopian eunuch and his encounter with Philip in Gaza, which is a place I think we've heard in the news of late. In Gaza, this Ethiopian is traveling back home from Jerusalem. And I learned years ago, and see if I remember this correctly, this eunuch was a servant of a very powerful and prestigious queen in Ethiopia. Now, there are a couple of interesting things that sometimes we forget from Scripture. There are 12 tribes in Israel. You know that one of those tribes ended up in Ethiopia centuries before? And so the understanding of the words of the Old Testament were found down there. And so this Ethiopian is wanting to know more about this, and he goes to Jerusalem to find out and worship. He is seeking God. As a eunuch, he was a male slave that was willing to be castrated so he would not be a danger to women or desires of the flesh, to be the perfect servant and given all kinds of power. In other words, this guy sacrificed on behalf of his queen. And in return, he was given a tremendous amount of power and authority. How do you think he was able to grab staff and a chariot and head off to Jerusalem if he's just a low-level employee? No, he was highly trusted with all of her wealth, everything. And he was trusted enough to go to Jerusalem to worship, to find out what he needed to find out. And on his way back, he's still reading this scripture and he can't understand it. And God sends Philip. So what is it you're reading? He was led to, like a lamb to the slaughter, and he complaineth not. And Philip is able to say, hey, let me tell you who that is. It's not somebody yet to come. He is. He is the Messiah. How would you like to be grafted on that tree of life? How would you like to be a part of this and bear fruit? And that person receiving that knowledge, that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, as they're traveling together. Remember, Philip was put there by God, rode with this guy in the chariot, explaining to him as they're riding toward wherever. And then, well, what would stop me from being baptized? Nothing. And there's the water. And he was baptized and rejoiced. And then Philip is carried away. Other work, other places. The Bible just says that the eunuch, this servant, was made glad. He rejoiced and praised God that his eyes were open and now he was grafted onto the tree of life. From my own personal experience in my life, there are times when, in spite of all the things that I had been raised to understand, believe, and live, was I worthy of my calling? Was I always connected to the vine? Or how many times did I risk withering and dying from not being attached? I had to wrestle for a long time, especially when God really started to speak to my heart a number of years ago. I lived a period of time in my life when, in spite of everything that I thought that I knew, understood, and believed, I recognized I was living more for me, and I was trying to be that detached vine or that detached branch, and trying to go it on my own, figuring, yeah, I'll get watered occasionally, I'll do this, I'll do that. And my career, which at that time was in broadcasting, and I just had this feeling because, man, you know, I'm working, I gotta get up at 3:30 in the morning, 5 days a week, sometimes six, and I have live broadcasts to do and tailgate shows to go to and this and that and everything on a Saturday. Sunday would come and I just didn't want to do anything. And I found myself getting out of the habit of being in church. And once you get out of the habit, it becomes easier and easier and easier to do. You know, the first couple of weeks, first few months, you don't think much of it. And then you feel, okay, I'm good. I'm all right. I still love my Lord. But I'm not doing anything for his kingdom. In other words, I'm not bearing any fruit anymore. I'm just a dead branch that thinks he's still attached. And I can tell you that in that phase of my career, and then going into the engineering side and everything else, there was that extended period where I claimed to be a follower of Christ, but as that saying would go, if you were being charged with being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I would probably be acquitted at that point in my life, because there would not have been enough evidence of Christ in me. I can remember when it was. I was working for a manufacturer of equipment, and it was a job that I truly loved. I mean, if anybody could say, I am blessed in my occupation, I look back at those years at this one company, and I can say God really gave me the desire of my heart. Gee, I really wanted to be on the air, but after a while I realized, hey, it's no fun. There's no real future in pretending that I could just play 45 RPM records for the rest of my life in a little control room. Those days, God already saw ahead of me, those days were going to come to an end anyway. Not just for me, but for a lot of people in the industry. And I've always known, maybe I'll share the story about a gal named Lee. She agrees. Some may know this story, many of you may not. In early 1954, my mother met this handsome Marine. Actually, late 53, met this handsome Marine. And he was from West Virginia. And she's from Brooklyn, New York, but she's living out in 29 Palms, California. She'd had a very rough and miserable life. Her mother had died at a young age. She had watched one of her brothers go to war and die, I mean, in Korea. She had just watched her father, you know, just mentally fall apart multiple times after the death of her mom. And now she's trying to find her life, and she's out there in 29 Palms, California, where she meets this Marine at a New Year's dance. And she fell head over heels for this guy. And she was determined to marry this guy at all cost. And when he had some time off, she convinced him that she wanted to see the seashore of California. And in the process of seeing the seashore in California, my life begins. at Paradise Cove, where they filmed the Rockford Files. Little information I never thought I'd ever get, but I got after I found and met my mother. Well, when her brother, who she was staying with, found out, and the man that was my father was away on maneuvers for about a month, her dear brother put her on a train back to New York to her dad, where she ended up in the early summer or late spring of 1954. No prospect of ever seeing this guy, no prospect of anything, and her father not very happy with her, but putting up with her at this little brownstone on Ovington Avenue in Brooklyn. And one day she was sitting out front. You know how on a brownstone you have these steps and to the sidewalk. It wasn't that crowded in that part of Brooklyn at that time. And she's sitting out there on this fine day in, I think it was August. Just like, you know, life's not worth it. Why bother? And this young gal came up and was walking down the sidewalk and stopped and said, "Are you okay?" And my mother said, "I don't really talk to strangers," but she said, "I felt compelled to talk to this young gal." Said, "Yeah," and then she said, "Can't you tell I'm pregnant? Can't you tell?" And she sat down with her, and they shared and they talked for a while. And my mother said, "I don't understand how it happened. My father never could figure out why he let this happen, but she moved in that afternoon and stayed and cared for me until you were born. And the night you were born, she went with me to the hospital. It was a Hurricane Hazel coming through. We got in a cab, went to the hospital. You were born, and we got home, and then she kept pestering me about getting you christened or baptized. You needed to be dedicated to God." And my mother could have cared less, but she was so relentless that one day in late November, I was born in October. Lee is still there. That was her name, Lee. Convinced her to go with her to go visit this Lutheran church around the corner from her house, down the block. So they went down there, and she was said, "I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I'm carrying you, and I got this gal, and we went to this church, and there was this pastor, seemed like a real hard-headed kind of guy. His name was Viggo Aronson. I had the chance to finally talk to him at one point in my life, too. And he said, "I never did outside baptisms, but that gal, Lee, I knew I had to do it. So I arranged for it. After a church service, while everyone's downstairs having, you know, fellowship," which in that circle probably included a little bit of libation in that group of dancing Danes and Swedes, upstairs underneath this big, beautiful sailboat thing that had been created to show what the boat they came over on, this baptismal font, you know, that was about 6 foot in diameter, made out of marble. He said, "I baptize you on the fifth day of December, 1954. And my mother says the next day, Lee vanished and never was seen from again. My mother ultimately decided to put me up for adoption. Because of that baptism, I ended up in a Christian home. I didn't end up just any old place. And it created a problem for the state of New York for the adoption. And then I ended up with this family out in Long Island, who exposed me to the things of God, planted the seed in me, amen, and prayed for me to end up someday in this ministry that I'm in now. They lived to see it. They had to wait till their 90s, but they got to see it. Better late than never." To understand, St. Paul says, "Forsaking not the assembling of thyself, as is the manner of some, but all the more as you see the day approaching." I have no doubt, I am not worthy of my calling. There are preachers that are vastly better than I could ever hope to be. They can preach better, longer, more endurance. more scholarly. All I have to give you is what God gave me, this message that I give unto you. If God can take a second-rate shock jock wannabe disc jockey, run him through engineering school, and then throw him into a Bible college where he survived, to be at this point in my life. You know, there are times that Lori knows it. I'll go, Lord, you know, I have been the pastor of large churches. Why am I the pastor now again of small churches? Then I'm reminded we're living in a time of a great falling away. People just don't go to church like they used to anymore. They've given up. They've walked away. They have more important things to do. They don't feel the need to be on that vine anymore. I can do it on my own. And who cares about the fruit I bring? Doesn't matter where that vine came from. As I mentioned, in grafting back in the day, they would take in the wintertime these fine olive branches from Italy, from Greece, the good stuff, and bring it and put it onto these olive weeds in the desert, and they would flourish because they were connected to life. No matter how good of an olive branch you may think you are, if you're not connected to your source or the vine, you're gonna wither and die, and you'll never bring forth good fruit. I realize that only by God's grace did he put up with me all those years before I got to the Bible college. I can remember right before I went to work there, I'd agreed to go there for about a year to help them out. And call it my being kind to God motive. You know, I needed it. I knew I had to do something because I knew I wasn't living the way I should. And I figured, okay, I can make peace with God. I'll do this for a year. And I'll probably continue to go to church or something thereafter. And, you know, you make all the, you bargain with God and it doesn't work. 1 year became 14 on that campus. And then an additional 5 years after, still as a consultant, and watched their ministry flourish. But during that time, when God finally got me out of this place where I'm not connected to him, and I reconnected to the roots that my grandparents had prayed for, that somebody had prayed for some reason, sending somebody to intervene with a mother that could have easily disposed of me in a back alley, that had been on her mind. And it never happened. Amen. If God can use me, he certainly can use anybody else here in this room. Trust me. I am not all that good. I am not all that great. I'm not all that talented. Yeah, a little bit of radio announcing helps a little bit in my youth to learn how to not be afraid of talking in crowds. I'm as comfortable talking to one as I would be to talk to 1,000 or 10,000. It doesn't bother me either way. That's the good thing about being trained in what I did. I have no crowd fear at all. Are you grafted on that tree? What is your source? Where is your life? Has God put a call on you? Are you a branch that has come loose? Or a branch that needs to be grafted into the tree of life? I know for a season I was a fallen branch that was beginning to wither and die. And had somebody not graciously picked me up and said, there's still something left in this one, and put me back. There's no telling where I'd be today. A lot of times when I say a prayer up there, I'll use the term, Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer. Hear our prayer. Now, I don't know if any of this made any sense. I wasn't planning on preaching about the eunuch and Philip. That's where God led it. But in light of being grafted into that tree. Do you know that every, even the tiniest branch that bears fruit is precious in the sight of God? Oh, there's some branches bigger than others. But every good fruit is worthy, not to be disposed of, not to be ignored. There's a lot the Bible says about growing fruit. Well, I've read it. You sow what you reap what you sow. What are we sowing in our lives? What are we sowing in this world? What are we sowing in our families, our kids' lives? What are we investing in them? It all comes down to what I'll get into in the next couple of weeks. I may, as I'm standing here, the Lord is just saying, now's the time to teach certain truths to my people. And it's really more that the best way to put it, it's kind of like a wake-up call, a reminder of who we are in Christ. Nothing new, but things that sometimes we fail to acknowledge and fail to live and fail to receive because we get so caught up in the things that we're doing to get by day to day. I mean, I've been there before. I understand the bills coming in. I get it. I've done it. And sometimes we get so dependent upon ourselves, we forget where we should invest first. Last well-known verse, and don't take it as a verse about giving. Take it as a verse about investing in everything that is who God has made and created you. Lay up for yourselves not treasures on earth, where the thieves break in and the rust can corrupt, but lay up treasures in heaven where thieves do not break in and rust does not corrupt. Sometimes we invest so much of ourselves in the things that really don't matter in the long run, and we invest nothing where it needs to be invested for now and in the future. If anybody is guilty of that, I am. Be the first to tell you. I'm trying to remember the song. Doesn't matter. But it essentially talks about the wasted years, Lord, of my life. The wasted years that I could have done for you. The wasted years I could have been a part of your kingdom. The wasted years that I didn't. And the regrets. But you want to know, here's the final thought. The prodigal son always comes to mind. Took everything that his father had given him and squandered it. And the difference between, and I've had to share this with families that have had errant kids. What sets the prodigal son apart is the prodigal son recognized his sin and recognized he was wrong and said, God, I hope my father can forgive me. And he goes back. What was that song, Andre Crouch and the Disciples? Take me back to the place where I first believed. He wanted to come back home. He was willing to live among the pigs and eat like the servants. And yet God, in spite of all of the arrogance, welcomed him home with a ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf. They had a party. His brother that had had all these things was jealous. The father had to say, no, no, no. This my son, who I thought was dead, is home and alive. You I have with me all the time, and you will have all these benefits. Rejoice with me. Every time a sinner comes home, there's rejoicing in heaven. The one thing I wish this building had architecturally, and I keep thinking in my mind how to fix it, is how to have a different kind of an altar rail here. I can envision a few things that could be done. Where, how many times have you felt in your life, and people may not even know it, that you say, Lord, I just have to come to your altar. I have something I need to drop off of myself. How often has God said to you, come to my altar? You know, the best part about coming to his altar, you leave it there. You don't have to take it back with you. You leave your sin, your burden, your cares, your concerns, the things that trouble you. You can leave them at the foot of the cross. You leave them at his altar where he gave his life for you. And that is the greatest news that we can have, to be able to come to his altar. Heavenly Father, I look at this congregation today and I see those that are here that you've called out to be here. Father, may they blossom as branches on your vine. May they bring forth the fruit of righteousness that you have endowed them to produce. May they answer the calling you've placed upon their lives. May you remove from them any burdens, any heartaches, anything that divides them from you. Remind us that we all need to come to your altar, not just once, but constantly, to be reminded, to be encouraged, to be empowered, to be forgiven, to be restored, to become good bearers of fruit. Now for all the needs of everybody in this congregation, whether it be physical, financial, emotional, whatever it may be, friends in need, decisions to be made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Intervene by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray that those that need may be drawn to your altar. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand if you can as we sing our closing hymn.
Worship service from Trinity Chapel in 7 Mile Ford, Virginia. Trinity Chapel is a small, traditional, and biblically based congregation in the southwest corner of Virginia. The church pastor is the Reverend Bob Bierman, also host of Truth to Ponder, heard on this station. We want to thank you for being a part of our worship service today. To learn more about the church, its mission, and its vision, visit the website trinitychapelvirginia.com. That is TrinityChapelVirginia.com. And we invite you to join us next week at the same time for another service from Trinity Chapel.